They don't want it to become a lost ark, is how a 2022 New York Post story began its lamenting how the Forest Hills Jewish Center, a conservative synagogue downsizing to a smaller space, was hoping to find a new home for the room within the sanctuary holding its Torah scrolls, a process still unfolding to this day. The Baroque structure, made of gold leaf, bronze, and plaster arch, stands 32 feet tall and 19 feet wide and was designed in 1949 by Polish-born artist Arthur Zick, who is buried in the Congregation Cemetery plot in West Babylon, Long Island. We have families, their children are named in front of that ark, bar mitzvah in front of that ark. We've had weddings, the shul's executive director Deborah Gregor said in conveying how much the ark would be missed by the shul's members. It's the backdrop to life. The commendable efforts to preserve masterfully complex works stem from a revival in recent decades to preserve Schick's creation, led by Erwin Unger, whose memoir, Reviving the Artist Who Fought Hitler, My Life with Arthur Zick, documents his dedication. It lovingly and intricately details how Zick himself served as an aesthetic accompaniment in the backdrop of life during the first half of the 20th century, only to then be largely forgotten. Unger, a former pulpit rabbi in Forest Hills, though not at the Jewish Center, was 2 years old when Zick died in 1951, and only discovered the artist's work in a crowded bookstore in 1975, sparking a second career as a rare bookseller. His interest in the man and his work unceasingly sparked, he recounts, peppering his family with wonder. Did you know that Arthur Zick was the leading anti-Nazi artist in America during World War II? Did you know that when President Franklin Roosevelt gave his famous Four Freedoms speech in January 1941, 38 paintings by Arthur Zick hung in the White House? Did you know that after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, it was Arthur Schick's portrait of Japan's Admiral Yamamoto that was on the front cover of Time magazine? Zick was born in Lodz in 1894. His father was blinded by acid when Russian authorities put down a Polish peasant protest in 1905, instilling in the young Arthur a knack for protesting injustice. In 1914, while on a trip to Palestine with other Polish artists and writers, he was conscripted into the Russian army and fought in World War I Battle of Lodz against the Germans. Afterwards, he composed and illuminated a letter to Paul von Hindenburg, commander of the German armies on the Eastern Front, requesting his father's mill be spared from German pillaging due to his father's blindness. Remarkably, von Hindenburg, who would later appoint Hitler as Chancellor of Germany, sent a note back agreeing to the request. Later, when the Poles were fighting the Russians from 1919 to 21, Zick was appointed the artistic director for propaganda by the Poles. He then spent significant time in Paris, where he befriended Vladimir Jabotinsky, leader of the revisionist Zionist movement, and earned the Ordre des Palmes Academiques for his contributions to French artistic culture. He and his wife Julia were then sent to Morocco on behalf of France, where Zick served as an ambassador of goodwill and painted the portrait of the Pasha. In 1931, he was awarded the Gold Cross of Merit by the Polish government and was the sole artist invited to illuminate the Charter of the League of Nations. 2 years later, during a 7-month stay in the U.S., he received the George Washington Bicentennial Medal, which commemorated the first president's birth, recognizing Schick's work on behalf of freedom across the globe. Proud of his Polish heritage and appreciative of American values, he created, in 1938, a series of 23 paintings titled The Glorious Days of the Polish-American Fraternity, including one of Tadeusz Kosciuszko, who served in the Continental Army and helped supervise the fortification of West Point. Over a few years in the late 30s, in Lodz and London, Zick composed and oversaw the printing of his masterpiece, an illuminated Haggadah which the Times of London hailed as worthy to be placed among the most beautiful of books that the hand of man has produced. Unger would later sell the original paintings for it to George Lucas for his Lucas Museum of Narrative Art. During World War II, his reach was breathtaking and he sought to stem the tide of Hitler's march of death and settled in America for good. By 1940, a Canadian paper, the Halifax Herald, reported that Hitler had put a bounty on the anti-fascist artist's head. Zick succeeded Dr. Seuss as the cartoonist for the popular PM newspaper, running his anti-Axis illustrations regularly. His art was exhibited at over 500 USO recreation centers. A survey conducted by Esquire reported his pieces were more popular among servicemen than pictures of pin-up girls. The New York Post ran over 90 of his political cartoons between 1942 and 43. Ben Hecht, the famed Hollywood screenwriter, was in awe of Schick's serving as a one-man art department for the Bergson Group, aiming to rescue whatever Jews they could during the Holocaust. Zick designed their ads in the New York Times, brochure covers for their rallies, and even composed editorials advocating for the rescue of his coreligionists. He appeared among us one day like a bonanza on the doorstep, Hecht recalled of Zick. He worked for 8 years without pause. Nobody paid him anything and nobody thought of thanking him, nor was he an unknown artist using a cause to add luster to his name. It was already one of the most illustrious names in international art. The well-traveled Zick, Unger emphasizes, held a deep appreciation for America, and America appreciated him. Writing of his happiness in having an anti-Hitler image of his chosen for the cover of Collier's magazine, Zick humbly noted how, "I have been in this country for only a year. I am a Polish exile from Lodz, which is now in German hands, and for years I have lived in Paris, which is also in German hands. For me, I know it is not a war but a world revolution, and I am convinced as an individual, as an artist, as an exile and as a future American that the only hope for the future of the world lies in the Anglo-Saxon democracies. I am proud to see my work on the cover of Collier's. It is a real privilege. This son of Poland who had dodged death's grasp while fighting for the ability of others to do the same would befriend Eleanor Roosevelt, have his work displayed in the White House and be designated by the Library of Congress as an artist for freedom." His illuminated Declaration of Independence was dedicated on July 4, 1950 in New Canaan, Connecticut, with the chairman of the proceedings praising the artist as one of the world's great free men who dedicated his life and art to the preservation of freedom. In an addendum, Unger wonders aloud how it was that such a ubiquitous artist had largely faded from memory. He suggests several factors, from his hard-to-pronounce last name, said the same way as the Razor Company, to being investigated and blacklisted as a suspected subversive by the House Un-American Activities Committee, HUAC, between 1949 and 1951 due to his affiliation with anti-fascist and left-leaning causes. This severely distressed the artist, who died of a heart attack in 1951, though Unger dismisses the latter as a major factor, noting that Albert Einstein and Frank Lloyd Wright remained untarnished by McCarthy's ugly hunt. He instead laments the art world dismissing Schick's realist style during its obsession with abstract expressionism in the 40s and 50s, his rich and varied body of popular works categorizing him as, perhaps to some, merely an illustrator, and the lack of dealers and family members who ensured that after his death the demand for his work would hold. Ultimately, due to Unger's work collecting the Forgotten Creator's productions, and his capstone sale of his lifetime personal collection of over 450 paintings and drawings bought by the Taub Foundation. Donated to the Taub family Arthur Zick collection at the Magnus Collection of Jewish Art and Life at UC Berkeley, Zick lives on, preserved for posterity. The artist would be humbly grateful, having written in the dedication of his Haggadah, "I am but a Jew praying in art. If I have succeeded in any measure, if I have gained the power of reception among the elite of the world, then I owe it all to the teachings, traditions and eternal values of my people." Rabbi Dr. Stuart Halpern is senior advisor to the provost of Yeshiva University and deputy director of YU's Strauss Center for Torah and Western Thought. His books include the newly released Jewish Roots of American Liberty, The Promise of Liberty, A Passover Haggadah, Esther and America, Gleanings, Reflections on Ruth, and Proclaim Liberty Throughout the Land, the Hebrew Bible in the United States.